oral interview is with Susie Carbajal at her home in Torrington, Wyoming on October 21st, 1985. It's part of an oral history project entitled The Spirit of Survival, Voices from the Depression, funded by the Wyoming Council for the Humanities. Project coordinator is Don Hodson, history instructor at Eastern Wyoming College here in Torrington. Interviewer is Sandra Hansen. Okay, Mrs. Carbajal, the idea of these interviews is to bring out people's own personal recollections of how the Depression affected them and their families, and that's what we'll be concentrating on during this conversation. Do you have any outstanding memories from that time?
Well, I do, because I came in 1930, and that was before 1929, and in 1930, my dad was really a railroad worker. He came to find railroad worker. He changed from the Santa Fe, was close to New Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so we moved here because my uncle was living at the time in Casper, working for the refineries. Then when we came here, we found out that the sections were only employing people part of the time. So mostly he depended more on farm work. And since we were able and big enough to help, it seems that that helped us a lot, because we changed from one place to another. We lived in the city at that time. And when we came out to the farm, we found that it was even easier, though times were hard, because we could always work, and we could even raise an animal to depend on the meat, even get the milk, even get food, which was most important, and whichever little money, which wasn't too much. We did ride our own car, an old little car. It brought us here, I don't know how many miles now, because the interstate has taken all care of that. Mm-hmm. But after in 1931, then I got married, and my husband was also working a farm. And at that time, that's when all the hardships started, because we had to live on our own and depend on ourselves. Which we were very young, and he worked for $20 a month. Mm-hmm. But on Sundays and Saturdays, and whenever he could get, he would get to the farmers, because he lived there. You know, he lived there. I think he came there when he was, he must have been by 1924. He was just a child himself. And so he already knew, because he lived in this part of the country more than I did. And it seemed like he knew all the farms, and he was raised in the valley there, so he knew more or less where to go for work or whatever there was. He knew most of the farmers there, since he was raised around them. His best friends were the Teeters, and he used to get around a lot with Nichols, that was a German family, and Fairs, Goodrich, all those places there. He was practically raised. There was not very many Spanish people living in the area at the time. So even then, you know, he had more advantages than we did, because he practically grew there.
Oh, where was this at exactly?
Wheatland.
At Wheatland. Okay.
Yeah. And we lived there until 1937, really. But it was hard work. After, like I say, probably it was in 1935, 1936, they start having that WPA there, where they were building that park there in Guernsey. So then he worked there, and we moved to Guernsey, but it wasn't just for a short period of time. And in 1937, there was a doctor in Montana who was giving farms on shares, and we moved there. My father even moved there, and we stayed there until 1940. And in 1940, we came back to, in 1938, we lived in Menderson. That was a big farm there. There's where we really thought we were getting rich, because he was getting $50 a month in good homes. So what I can say is, about hardships, it was hard, but we never were without work to supply us with our needs, which is very good. Mm-hmm. Supply us with our needs. And I was a very fortunate person, because I was born to parents that knew how to survive and knew how to struggle, And then I married a man that could also do the same. So I think that's what really got us through so much of the, people say there were a lot of hardships. There was a lot of struggling, and probably we did with a lot without the luxuries, no luxuries. Like I said, just the necessities, buy medicine, doctors, everything was so cheap that we could get, people could get a dozen eggs for 10 cents. I remember that in 1930 and 31. But we had our own little chickens, which wasn't, you know, too much, but we could eat. We depended a lot on the farm, really. We depend a lot on the farm. Though the farmers weren't ours, we worked for somebody else. But the farmers were in the same boat we were. Yeah. So what we did, we used to trade, you know, like my husband, if he used to go out there and help them feed, probably they'll supply him with milk and eggs and meat. And then we used to work the harvest. It was there was a farmer there where he had 25 acres of beets, and his wife and him started from one end, and me and my husband started from the other. So towards the last, you know, he got a little money from the bank, and he gave us a little money, and then he helped us with supplies. So it was, that's the way I lived. So there were a lot of people that they say they couldn't live it. But I'm going to tell you one thing, and that's a true fact. I never, never have been dependent on any kind of welfare help. Never in my life. That was, like I say, by the when the time I got married, that's when the really, really struggle started. Before that, it was because, but my dad, you know, he had a little more work. And then, of course, there was only three of us in the family. Mm-hmm. And when there isn't too much of a burden of a family, you know, you can survive easier. My mother used to make my clothes, and she used to try to buy from the, what they used to call it, that water field, little catalogs. She used to get those bundles, yeah, and make clothes for me. But really, like I say, you know, I couldn't say too much of that. It affected us because we had to work harder. We had to take care of every corn in the cob. Can I give me a little boost if you think you can remember something else?
Being young like that, and things were just starting to get tough when you got married, did that make you worry about getting married at all?
Well, no, it didn't. I just had two more years of high school to go. And it didn't worry me because, you know, it seems like the younger you are, it seems the braver you are. It seems like you think that you're really good. You know, my husband, well, he worked all his life. See, his father lived there in Wheatland, too, and he had a second family, which was very hard for him to take care of. And my husband was one. Now, he wasn't the oldest, but they all worked, you know. And then, of course, my father-in-law worked very hard, too, and because he had a big family. But it seems like they all survived. That's what I can figure out, because the reason I say this is because now everything comes to an end, you know. It seems like people say, well, what am I going to do? And I can see their point. Probably the reason now it's so hard is because things are so high. Everything's so expensive. You make more money, but still everything's more expensive.
And people don't have their own gardens and access to their own animals.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I don't know. I have seen even my own kids when they were going to school, because I don't say we were wealthy, but it seems like my kids all, so far, they got a degree. And it was all hard work. My own son was going to Laramie here, where he was working after he came out of the service, and he was working, and going up there to the, I think it was a hamburger stand or something, and working until 11 o'clock at night, having to do his studies and go back to college. And it seems like all my kids did like that. My even my daughters, the ones that got married, they all struggled. Their husbands did too. So still, I think if we make an effort, we'll survive.
One way or the other.
We have to survive.
Yeah. You were saying that your family had a car of their own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever experience any trouble being able to buy gas for it during the Depression years?
The only time was when we had no. The only time we had trouble getting gas was when they started selling that gas with stamps, and that was during the World War, Second World War. Then they gave us stamps for sugar, and they gave us stamps for gas. Mm. But then, that was way back, already in 41, 42. That was it. No, before that, no, my dad, he never did have any trouble buying gas. Because, see, the money we got, whatever money he got, even if it was $30 that he got, $20 that get, sometimes he used to shear sheep. Besides topping beets, thinning beets, hoeing beets, going up there to cottonwood and shear sheep. And because he didn't go back to the railroad until later, the Union Pacific year. He worked for 15 years in Cheyenne, but he went later, way after. And so to survive, I know my dad, we always had the meat there. We always had everything to live. And then when my husband, we got married. See, my husband and I, well, we lived with my parents a lot. You know, we lived close to them. So, and my husband was a very intelligent man. So Dad used to like him a lot. Dad took him in just like a son.
How old was your husband when you got married?
19. He was 19.
Very young.
Very young. I was barely... See, I was 16 the 12th of November, and I got married the 22nd. Yeah, and I got married, let's see, 43 years. I was married to the time he passed away 12 years ago. And we lived a beautiful life. And we have, even now, I have a very close family. And I don't know, sometimes they say, usually a mother-in-law or a father-in-law fell someplace. Well, I don't know. I think that they all fit the shoe because I think they all came in just right. they are wonderful to me, and I think that we haven't had any, as far as problems, you know. But to survive in food, we never went without food. And like I said, gas, my dad had a little truck, and sometimes other people used to go there. See, we came in that little truck, clear up from Albuquerque, clear up to Wheatland. Yeah, and then we went back in another little car that we got. We went back in 1932 because my mother and my dad wanted my husband to meet my family. See, he's never ever even been to New Mexico. He didn't even know what New Mexico. His father, when his mother passed away in 1920, I guess they moved here. And he was very young. With the rest of the family. My father-in-law had remarried already, so he was very young, and they moved over here. So then then my grandmother used to send us some red chili, that ground chili from over there. She used to send us some, those, I love chili. And like I said, we have plenty of rice, we have plenty of beans, we have plenty of potatoes. My dad was my dad loved meat. So, and I don't care much for meat, even now. But we always had meat. But it was that way. I mean, it wasn't nothing that we could buy with money. We used to kind of trade. And the farmers, I think the farmers, they weren't the same boat we were. Because, see, they used to, I know a lot of farmers there that some of them even passed away. We were treated real nice. We all got along fine. We all tried to do the best we can to help each other. My mother couldn't speak a word English. My dad spoke very little. And here I used to be the interpreter. So so here my mother used to, you know, she there was a lady there, Mrs. Kerbel. She used to make that German sausage or something. So here my mother was there. I used to hear her be riding here like that, and they used to trade. And then here they used to like to eat. My mother used to make real good homemade bread. And she used to make a little good, just like tortillas. But then my mother used to make more bread than anything else. And here we used to, you know, we used to just have a grand time. My mother learned how to make sweet rolls. My mother used to make sweet rolls, but she used to make them different. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, we just fit in there. We got along fine. We always got along fine. I think the hardships came afterwards, where people were, it was later after the 40s that everything came, you know, that it was kind of struggling. And that was about this discrimination deal. And like I said, I don't want to talk about it, that, because I don't even want that to be known. Because I have my own personal reasons for it.
You hear a lot about big dust bowls and the big dust storms and that kind of thing. Do you remember any of that around the areas where you live?
No. No, not between the only tornado, I guess, hit there, Wheatland, but that was in the 40s. We were in Montana. And then there was one in 1929 in Johnstown, Colorado, and we were close to it, but we never experienced anything like that. Hailstorms, yes, because, you know, they used to demolish beams and everything else, and then when it was so hard. I remember one time the threshing machine, my dad was with the threshers, trashing beans, you know, and there was so much of that beans that even the elevators couldn't. The farmers were the ones that were very hit because they couldn't sell their crop, and they were the ones that had, especially the ones that had, you know, leased the place. Yeah, we went to work for our shares with Charlie Williams there at the Valley, and by the end we did all the work, and we were going to get half of the share. By the time he got done, and he didn't have any money, did we? He couldn't even pay. We couldn't give us our share. We couldn't even get it because, you know, so we had to start over. But it, like I say, it was nobody's fault. It was just the times were bad. The thing I do remember is when Roosevelt went into as a president is that they start buying the sheep. And that's when my uncle, my grandpa, you know, because they were sheep, sheep owners there now in New Mexico. They start buying the sheep, you know. A lot of people used to go out there and butcher all the meat they wanted to, but that was way back in the, I think that was in about 34. Yeah, I remember people from here, from Thornton, used to go up over there to everywhere and get whatever they could. Because, I don't know, I think here was, it was hit every place. But, I don't know, we were in a place where it was bad. It was bad all over. But like I say, you know, I can tell you a lot of the stories about the other people, because I knew a lot of people. And they were the ones that were having the problems, very bad problems. Because sometimes they couldn't hire them. And I don't know whether it was because they couldn't. My husband was always able to drive a tractor, and so was my dad. But there were some of the Spanish-speaking people that they say that the farmers wouldn't even let them drive tractors or anything, or trucks. They wouldn't trust them with the machinery. And all they all depended on was just on the handwork. And that's one thing we didn't. You know, we worked. We did a lot of beats, I tell you. I still did when we were farming. My kids, I took them to a big field, even we were farming. Hard work has been my life history, and I tell you, everything I got is, I got it through hard work. Nothing given. Though my parents, I could say I lived a very good childhood, and I think my parents had better, you know, better way of doing things in their earlier life until the depression, really. Because even my mother came from a very wealthy family. So really, I don't think my mother struggled. The only thing is that now where it comes here, like we say about politicians, and I don't get into political things, but I do believe in one thing, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, I think every family, every person, they have to learn how to be conservative. I ask my kids all the time, don't tell me how much you're making. Tell me what you're trying to save to get ahead. Because that's not the point of making money. Times can go worse now than they did before. We are getting to that point now. I see, why do we have the welfare department there? We wouldn't have one if we wouldn't have poverty in this country. We do have it. I see people, I have people living in my homes here that I know that they are living the way I lived, the depression. I mean, they have a way of getting it because they have jobs, at least real work. But they're struggling, very conservative people, I can say. They can make a dollar go triple with kids.
Did you notice any difference in the availability of things in the stores during those years?
What you mean?
I mean, like, was it hard to get goods into the stores to buy, or?
Well, whenever I went shopping, which wasn't too many times, like now, you know, people go shopping every time they have a dollar in their pocket. The thing is that there was plenty of things that you could do with, but there was no money to buy it. So you had to buy just the necessities, like for, like I say, a pair of shoes to work, a work pair of shoes, and you go out shoes, you had to wear, whether the style went in or came back or whatever, you never went out of style because you had to wear the same thing. Well, that's a true fact. Now people, you know, they got the money. I don't know, they say they don't, but I don't know how they buy it.
Did you have, was there a particular struggle to get the money to buy a pair of shoes? Because that wouldn't be,
yes,
you could,
yes,
trade a farm,
yes,
for.
No, yeah, that's what you had to work for the money. If you had money, like for instance, my dad and my mother, when we were going to go to school, you know, all the money that we got working here and there in the summer, they saved it, and then of course they buy the school clothes, you know, limited. If, you know, if we had, well, like I was a girl, it was a different story, but my brothers, you know, they had their two pair of jeans, and I tell you, my mother was washing those jeans very often. That was a matter of making things go a long ways, because that's one thing we never did, you know, to keep clean. Sanitation was no hardship for us, because when we came to Wheatland, there was a farmhouse there, we had three rooms and a little porch, and I can tell you, did I learn how to scrub floors? I did. My mother had me with that one brush that big, because my mother was a very neat person. And here I was scrubbing that floor, you know, because there was no rugs, no nothing. In Albuquerque, we had our home. In fact, my dad never sold it until many years, well, after he went back. In fact, he bought a new home after he went back. That was in 1950, he went back to his hometown. I got married, I stayed here. I'm still trying to find Wyoming. But I did, yeah, it's true. That was what the money had to be used. The money had to be used, like I say, flour. What we could get from the farmers were mostly meat. Mm-hmm. And tallow, you know, like my mother used to make soap. That's what we used to get the most, you know. Mm-hmm. To buy our sugar, our, well, like I say, those big, they had little cans like that, big cans of jelly. Gosh, you can get them, I don't know, for a while. Peanut butter. That was my school lunch.
Peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah, I won't eat peanut butter after this date. And then my mother used to make little meat, you know, and just cut it real fine like that, make little biscuits and put them in there. But I wasn't any different. Me and Mrs. Bigner here had a big ball one day. The one that lived here, you remember? She came from the same, she was in the same boat I was, and we used to say, gee, I said, I have a catar of cooked potatoes and white gravy. That's true, yeah. You know? My grandparents used to help us a lot, though. My mother's family, they had money, and I remember they used to send my mother some money. I remember that even here, when she was here, she used to send my mother some money, you know, because they had money. And then my grandfather died in 1931. Of course, my mother came into her inheritance. They gave her inheritance. And like I say, though I came from a family that wasn't poor, I know what it is to live both. Mm-hmm. But when I married, I made a decision. And like I say, you know, I'm not sorry, because I married a man. That's when I really learned. Because I was an only daughter, and my mother and my dad, even if it was 5 cents that they could get me a sucker for candy, they got it for me. It was when I got married and then started having my children that I learned, really, and that was a good lesson for me. I think I had the good education right there. And my husband was a very good man. He was hardworking, and like I say, we got married in 1931, and that made up to the date that he died. He died in 1974, he was 61. I tell you, that man did with his life what not very many will do in a lifetime, because he left me provided for, not rich, but taken care of. And he helped, and he put his kids, when they needed the school, the kids all work, they all learned how to work, and he used to tell them, he says, I can tell you because I know what it is like. And me and your mother, we worked it out together. I was very proud, because I wasn't going to let him down. I wasn't going to let my parents know even if I had to go out, get there and work, because I knew he didn't have any habits. So he used to smoke a lot, and finally he left that too. And my parents took him just like a son. My parents loved him because he was a good person. Yeah.
your children, when they were small, having to really work for your money and count every penny, did that cause any problems getting doctors and things like that?
No. No, I never did. No, because I can even tell you, in 1937, when Margie was born and Jenny was born in 35, I even went to the hospital there in Wheatland. In fact, for Margie, since I was very long there in the hospital, I had to pay $75.
Oh, my goodness.
$75? See, and we had to pay it on payments, but we paid it. Dr. Allison was my doctor. Dr. Pfeiffer was my doctor when Jenny was born. And Raymond, Dr. Fish, I even have his birth certificate there. He went to take care of me at the house, and he charged us $20. No, it seems like we struggled, but we paid. Little by little, we paid. And food was not... No, my kids were brought up from the beginning, when they were little. Even after we came to the Pitkinen farm there in 1944. And there my husband worked for about a year or two, and then he started working on sharecropping with Pitkinen. And it seems like my kids, we could always say, we're getting so much money, we're going to do so much with it, and this is for that, and this is for that, and the necessities. I think that my husband had a very good way of teaching his family the values. And even now, I tell him, I'm very happy that you accomplished so well, but there's one thing that we should never forget. We should never forget who we are, where we come from. But they say, don't ask me where I come from, tell me where I'm going. I think that they should, my husband did, and I did too, we did, made the kids understood. Not that they thought, the only problem I had sometimes is that they wondered, how come so-and-so's got this? How come the other one? And they're just as poor as us, sometimes they're even poorer than us. But that was when people start coming working, you know, in the fields. Used to get checks and buy everything they wanted to, and after when they were ready to leave, you know, they didn't have any money left. And the kids, when they were seeing these kids doing this, they thought, well, how come we can't do it? That I think that was about the only thing that once in a while they used to ask questions. But they were very happy. All my kids will can tell you that, even my youngest. They grew up in Huntley. Me and Mrs. Camersell here have a lot in common. We used to farm for the same farmer. And we remember how our kids used to go to Huntley school there, you know, were very happy there with what they had, playing there and eating like cold lunches or hot lunches, whatever. So that's what, like I say, you know, there is a struggle in our life, and there's a struggle right now. There is a struggle that right now, Miss Anderson, there is. People right now, they're struggling, but in a different way.
In the areas you lived in, did it seem like the neighbors were real good about helping each other?
Yes. They were, like I say, you know, I could say this because it seems like the friends that I had, like here in Huntley, well, it seems like they all didn't have, it wasn't then anymore, you know, it was more working and that. But I remember when Tommy was born, my first son, Shirley and Mrs. Mitchell. Okay.
There was this lady, too, that lived in one of the farms. I can't remember what her name was. One time she had a baby, and here the other farmer lady, she came down to ask me. She says, well, if you have any of the baby, I had my youngest child. He was Dale. That was the youngest boy. And she asked me if I had any baby clothes left from him. Well, some, not new. Some was left. You know, I got too little for him because we didn't have too much to, you know, to put away, but we could spare a little t-shirt or probably a few diapers and things like that. I think we did manage to help each other. I think we did. I lived in a good neighborhood. I really did. It was farm work. It was farm. And my husband was working, and it seems like I never had any. In Albuquerque, even in Albuquerque, when I lived in Albuquerque, that was during the Depression in the city. I remember my mother, you know, going out there to the country, about 18 miles from Albuquerque, and bringing pumpkins and fruit and everything like that, and baking pies and making those little empanadas and everything like that for Christmas and sharing them with people and whatever. It seems like that's the kind of I don't know what other people lived, but that's the kind of life I lived, you know. I've always been very charitable.
Did you notice in the areas that you lived through those Depression years, were there organizations or churches around that had benefit gatherings for people?
No,
or?
No. No, I the only one they had was that the one that my husband, he used to be very familiar with, the minister, Mr. Fair. In fact, he knew him since he was little. They had picnics, and I think we went to a few of them, picnics. But I didn't notice any organizations of any kind, any kind. They said in Albuquerque, yes. In Albuquerque, there was a Brotherhood, and there was a Salvation Army was very noted to help people. Because there was no, the county was the one that was helping then, but very little people then. I guess in these areas here, they said the factory used to help people, but I don't know. I never was aware of that. Mm. Some of the people here in Torrington tell me that, that the factory used to help them. But in Wheatland, I didn't hear of that.
What about entertainment?
Dances. Dances, Dutch hops. My husband used to like Dutch hops. Dances, that's about all, and go to the show if we can afford it. It was 10 cents for the 25 for the big ones and 10 cents for the little ones, and we didn't get to go to the show too much, probably a few times there in the theater. See, we could do things, but everything was limited. We had to adjust to limitations. The dances was free. The dances were free just so somebody could play a fiddle and a guitar.
Do you recall in particular, you know, like the government, after Roosevelt was elected, the government instituted a lot of programs. Do you remember any of those especially affecting you?
They didn't affect me, but because we never were in any of them, they used to give them welfare. They used to tell them that if they wanted to work, my husband used to get 36 hours a week. I think 36 hours or 20 hours a week there in Wheatland. But we never did. I used to see that they used to give people clothes and they used to give them fruits and stuff like that. But it seems, I don't know why, but we never got any. The only one that benefited from that was one of my brothers was in the CC camp because he was already 18. They would take him when they were 18. So in 1934, he was in the CC camp.
Did he ever tell you anything about what that was like?
Yes, it was mostly like, I think it was, they were training them like something for, you know, soldiers or something like that, you know, and they used to pay them $25 a month, and then they used to give them their food and everything. They used to be there for a year, I think. Yeah, he was in Fox Park here. And he learned a lot because they were trying to teach him a little things, you know. I don't know, I never did ask him more or less what, you know. Yeah, and in 1942, when my older brother, my youngest brother, because I'm the oldest of the bunch, he went to service, and he was 4 years in Germany. That was my youngest brother. Yeah. But that I think that's what the CC was about. I don't know. It was some kind of a, they used to call it a floresta, because I remembered that from New Mexico, 11,000 boys were from New Mexico, and they were in the Philippines when Japan attacked it. And I know because I lost two cousins on that, that they never came back. They said they died in the Marshall Bataan. And they were in that, they used to call them their florestas. But that's why it is CC camp. They used to put them there in the mountains doing things. I guess they were doing the road here in the Guernsey Park and everything. My husband was working there in the, but they used to call it the WPA. And they used to pay him, I can't even remember how much, not very much. But that did help us a lot. But he preferred the farm. My husband, I was preferring the farm until we moved here to Torrington in 1956. And he was a sexton there at the cemetery for 18 years. But we moved from the farm when all my kids were already established and everything. We moved here. I lived here 29 years already. But like I say, life was it was hard. No, nothing easy about it. But like I say, nothing is easy either. Even now, myself, at my age, when I was left a widow, there's people right now that on the fixed income, they're not living. But there's other things that too, that even then, sometimes we have to adjust ourselves to live with what we have. We can never, I don't, even the wealthy people, why are they wealthy? Because they never go over their means. They try to adjust themselves to a routine, you know, and to a budget. I've seen people earning a lot of money and they can go broke from one day to the other. I've seen them. It can happen to any of us. I see them every day. And it does affect people. I think it is, they say, my husband used to say, when you spend $1, make sure you have one in your pocket. He must have been through because he survived, and so did I. We were just kids. We were pretty head leveled. I think we both had a pretty good head. We must have.